Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
You know, something that God kind of just dropped on my heart as I was waiting to come up here and thinking about our Bible declaration is there's some people that, like, they believe that some of the words in this book is true, but they don't believe that all the words in this book are true. And I was talking to Jason about that earlier this week, and I said, wouldn't that be easy? Wouldn't that be an easy faith walk, like an easy walk, if I could pick and choose, well, I'm going to believe this part of God's word and that this applies to me, but I don't really like what this says, so actually, I don't believe that that's true, right? That'd be pretty easy just to pick and choose what parts we can believe in. And really, what our faith journey looks like and our relationship with God looks like is that every single word in this book has to be true or none of it is. Plain and simple. You either believe it all or you believe none of it. And, you know, there's a big difference between believing in God and following God. Yeah. Yep. I could preach a whole message on this, but I'm not going to, okay? I'm not. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel. We'll get back into the book of Matthew after that, but we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel as we're building up to our theme for 2026. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the fact that culture is a liar. Do you hear me? Culture is a liar. And I was struggling with the whole idea of this series and the title of some of these messages because I was like, we've already talked about culture. We've preached about culture. We've preached about, like, how there's a tension in our cultures and that, you know, when we choose to follow Jesus and walk with according to his word, that there's this tension in the king from the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. And why are we preaching this again? We've already preached it. And God just, like, spoke to me, and he's like, because history just repeats itself. There's nothing new. It's the same thing happening. And as we looked at Matthew and some of the things that Jesus was challenging people of that day regarding the culture of the kingdom in opposed to the culture of the world they were living in and how it applies to us today in the culture of the kingdom and the culture that we're living in, we can look back thousands of years before Jesus even preached about culture and look at the book of Daniel and how the culture of the kingdom of Babylon had opposed itself to the culture of the kingdom of God. And how nothing is new. It's just always on this cycle of repeat, okay? And we've talked a lot about culture at Hope City. But every place you go, every place you step foot into, there's an existing culture. I want you to understand that. There's an existing culture. In our country as a whole, there's a culture, right? In individual communities, there's culture in communities. There's culture within organizations. There's also culture within family, right? Every place we go, there's a culture, and culture dictates behavior. Yes. That's what I want you to understand, is that culture dictates behavior, and when two different cultures exist in one place, there's this clash. And that's really what we're going to be looking at today, is this clash of cultures. And one culture will always try to overthrow the other because it's really hard for two cultures to exist in one place. I will say that it's impossible for two cultures to exist in one place. In my heart, in my spirit, it is impossible for me to partner with the culture of the world around me and still identify with the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. I got to choose one or the other. So do you, right? Okay? And so I want to give you a little bit of a history before we dive into Daniel 1 as to what was happening in the nation at this time. First of all, the nation of Israel had already been divided into two separate nations at this point, okay? So, like, the kingdom that God had set up through Saul, David, Solomon actually divided itself to the northern and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. In the northern kingdom, Israel, they never had a godly king sitting on the throne. Once the nation split into two, the northern kingdom never had a godly king. Never had a king that bowed to the kingdom of God at all. And in the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, we see this like cycle of kings that come in that are like God-fearing and turning the hearts of the people back to the ways of God. And then a king would come in that'd be like, ah, no, let's go over here and to the, we're going to follow the gods of the nation and out of the nations around us. And so there was this constant, like, some were good, some were evil. Some were good, some were evil. And so the nation of Judah had been warned for many years from different prophets that God would raise up that they would be taken into captivity. And I want you to understand something about prophetic words because they apply today as well. A prophetic word that is spoken over a person, a country, a kingdom, they're given for one of two reasons. Either to encourage behavior, to keep going in that way, or to warn and stop behavior that is happening. There's two purposes of prophetic words. So when someone comes to you and says, like, man, I just, like, this is something that God just put on my heart to share with you. First of all, I can tell you this. If it's a true prophetic word that someone is speaking over your life, it's not going to come as a shock to you. It's going to be something that God's already been speaking to you, and this is like a confirmation, okay? But God's either saying, keep going, I'm in what you're doing, keep doing it, or he's saying, knock it off. Because if you don't, you're not going to like the outcome, okay? And so the nation of Judah had been given prophetic words saying, knock it off. Follow me. Stay true to what I've said. Otherwise, you're not going to like the outcome. Guess what? They didn't stop it. They kept allowing themselves to be driven into idolatry and following false prophets and following false words that sounded really good to them at the time. And the king of Babylon comes and invades them. And he takes the people into captivity, into Babylon. Okay? So it's during this time that the book of Daniel opens up. And the king of Babylon ordered his servant then to go and select men from the people who had been taken captive, to select young men to be brought into his palace and trained in the language and literature of Babylon. Ooh. Okay? Here's the requirements. He said, I want you to look for young men who... And here's the requirements that he gave them. Number one, they had to be of royal or noble bloodline. They had to be people of influence. Okay? They had to be strong, healthy, good-looking, intelligent, wise, and suitable for palace life. So basically, the king of Babylon is saying, bring me all the young men of high influence. And he said, they're going to partake in the finest of Babylonian cuisine. I'm going to feed them like I feed myself. And then they were to be trained for 3 years in the palace, and then they would be entered into the royal service of the king of Babylon. Why? Why did he want this? Well, he wanted to take the most influential men, retrain their minds and bodies, and then release them to further influence their people. But not in the ways of the God of Israel, but in the nation of Babylon. And he also wanted to strip them of their previous identity in order to indoctrinate them with the identity of his kingdom. That was his sole purpose. Strip them of their identity, indoctrinate them with his identity, and then release them to now spread this new identity and doctrine within the nation. I want to read to you from Daniel chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Okay? This picks up right as all of these men are being brought in. And it says, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all of them from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined to not defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, I'm afraid, my lord, the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. And if, after 10 days, at the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food, then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. Before we get into some of the things that I want us to pull out from this passage, I want you to know that the same spirit that ruled over Babylon and infiltrated the king of Babylon, the same spirit of Babylon is on the prowl today. Yes. Okay? And its sole purpose is to steal our God-given identity. And to indoctrinate us with an identity that seeks after pleasure, self-gratification, and self-promotion. Do I need to say that again? The spirit of Babylon is still alive and operating today. And its sole purpose is to rob you of your God-given identity. And to indoctrinate you with an identity that seeks after pleasure, self-gratification, and self-promotion. To be really precise and exact, this spirit is on assignment from Satan to keep you from following Jesus. Plain and simple. So there's a few things that I pulled out of this passage that I want us to be aware of. How does the spirit of Babylon work in our country today, in our lives today? How does it work and how does it try to infiltrate our thinking? Well, like I said, history just repeats itself. So we just need to look back. What happened to the Hebrew men who were taken into the palace? Number one is this: Babylon will try to change your name. Babylon will try to change your name. The Hebrew men who were taken into the palace were given Babylonian names. And these names that they were given were names of, they were given them names of gods. They were named after the gods of the Babylonians. And the idea was to change the place with whom they identified. To strip them of their Hebrew identity was to strip them of their relationship with God. I want you to look at what their these four men's Hebrew names were compared to the names that were given to them in Babylon. Daniel meant, "My judge is God." Belteshazzar, his Babylonian name, means, "May Nebo protect his life." Nebo was the name of one of the Babylonian gods. Hananiah meant Yahweh, which is the God who keeps his promises. Yahweh has been gracious. His name was changed to Shadrach, which means the under the command of Aku, which is the moon god of Babylon. Mishael meant who is what God is. Meshach meant who is who Aku is. Azariah meant Yahweh has helped. Abednego meant servant of Nego, which was another Babylonian god. And every time these men were called by these new Babylonian names, they were reminded of the culture in which they were now serving. Your judge is not God. I am your God. Yahweh has not helped you. You serve Nego now. And nothing has changed today. Satan is still after your identity. He is. And he gives out identities like this: unwanted, addict, gay, adulterer, alcoholic, liar, gossip. And those names begin to form how we see ourselves. But I'm here to tell you that when Father God looks at you, he identifies you as something completely different. Those names that are given to you by culture are not the names that Father God sees when he looks at you. He looks at you and he sees most loved, son, daughter, sought after, worth dying for, cherished. You know, something that I was thinking of this week is like, we recognize Daniel as Daniel, not his Babylonian name. But yet, as we get further into the book of Daniel, we recognize the other three men by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. It's like as Daniel went on, we begin to identify those three men by the names Babylon gave them. Here's what I want you to know. If you are walking around and identifying with a false identity, God can still step into your situation and turn it around. You don't have to identify with that false identity any longer. Babylon will try to change your name, but only you can allow it to happen. The second thing is this: Babylon will entice you with fine things. Ooh. Satan makes it so easy and so pleasurable to go down his path. The lie that the enemy offers is that what he has to offer is so much better than what God has to offer. Babylon offered these men the finest of meats, wines, and sugars, which were completely contrary to the Mediterranean diet that these men were used to having. Their diet consisted of like a whole food diet. It was healthy. It was good for their bodies. And Babylon encouraged them to partake and indulge themselves. Similarly, the spirit of Babylon entices us with pleasure, wealth, and power. And Satan makes sin appear to be the easy and more fun answer. Like, he really does. But I want you to know this. The gratification is temporary. How many of you can say this? Like, I know, gratification is temporary, right? He keeps you chasing after the pleasurable things. Like, what used to bring gratification once no longer brings the same degree, so now I need more of it. I need more of this in order to feel that way again, right? There's no lasting satisfaction. There's no contentment. There's only destruction. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, it says this: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide. For many choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. This is what you need to know. There's a big difference between believing in God and following God. There is. Even the demons believe that he's real. It's a true story. Even the demons believe that. There's a big difference between believing and following. The gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult. Because the road requires us to deny ourselves the pleasures of what Babylon is offering. That stuff tastes good. It does. And it feels good in the moment. But it leads to destruction. And the last thing is this: Babylon always fails to deliver. Going back to Daniel chapter 1, verse 15, we find Daniel and the four and the three men at the end of the 10 days. It says, at the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. I'm sure that the idea of partaking in the new delectable foods that Babylon was offering was tempting. But Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah chose to do something different. They chose the narrow gate. They chose something more difficult. And their choice made them stand out. Because as Daniel 1 continues in verse 17, it says, God gave these four men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings and visions of dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, that means 3 years, the chief of staff brought all of the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service of the king. whenever the king consulted them in any manner requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Why? Because they chose the narrow gate. They chose to do something that was difficult, to say no to the delectable things that Babylon was offering. This is not a new message. We talk a lot at Hope City about denying ourselves the pleasures of the world, right? Guess what? We're going to keep talking about it. It's not going to change. Because it's the only way to get us going through the narrow gate. Is this idea that he calls us to deny ourselves. He calls us to deny Babylon and to allow the kingdom of God to be what we walk after and what we seek for. Listen, sin is really easy. Sin is easy to say yes to. But the end game is hell. Paula, God, that is harsh. That is truth. The truth is you and I are going to spend eternity in one place or another, heaven or hell. And the determination of that is, what gate are we going to go through? And let me tell you, believing that God is not enough. Following Jesus and doing what he says is the only way to get there. Following Jesus can be hard sometimes, but the end game is heaven. I'm going to invite everyone just to close your eyes. Maybe you're in this room today and you recognize, like, you've been messing around with Babylon for a while. You've allowed the enticements of what Babylon has to offer keep you from going through that narrow gate. And today, you're ready to say yes to Jesus and to say no to self. You're ready to say, I'm done. I'm done following destruction. I'm done following after what seems pleasurable and gratifying in the moment. And right now, the first Sunday of 2026, I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to mean it. If that's you today, I just want to invite you to raise your hand up high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Woo! Come on. I'm just going to invite you to put your hands down. Listen, this is not just a one-time thing. Every single day, you and I have a choice. Am I saying yes to God or no to God?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.